Hey folks, make sure to stick around for the outro after today's interview. Hey y'all, I'm Whitney Scarborough, the host of Wits End. Here we are real people asking hard questions. If you think you hear the hum of a fridge or a train in the background, it's because you probably are. We are recording these episodes from the comfort of my home in a small town called LaGrange, Texas. Woven began organically with no agenda other than to bring a few ladies together to study God's word and hopefully create some deeper friendships. And today, just a couple years later, we've seen God create and build this nonprofit ministry of a diverse group of ordinary women coming together around the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ. Woven's mission statement is to equip women to study the Bible and cultivate meaningful relationships. Under that mission statement, we have four core values that act as the pillars of our organization. We aim to be biblically grounded, centered on Christ, intentionally relational, and postured in humility. But before we fully dive in, I want us to ask the question of why Bible study? Because a lot of times in our lives, we just do things without knowing why we do them. And I believe that our why should drive our what. Our why should drive our what. And I think that what we are doing is strengthened when we fully understand why we are doing it. How many of y'all have ever made the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad mistake of taking your kids with you to shop at Hobby Lobby? So a couple years ago, I was with my kids and just needed to run in for a few art supplies. No biggie. We'll just run in and run out. Famous last words. Well, I have three kids and they're good kids, but I honestly think on that particular day that someone injected my youngest son, Opie, who was about 3 years old at the time, with some sort of adrenaline as we were entering the store. I want you to picture a Weimaraner on a leash in search of raw meat. And you know, if your Hobby Lobby is anything like mine, you know that there's a front section that is just full of glass shelves and porcelain trinkets. Well, I knew if we made it through there, we had a chance. But to be honest with you, I don't really know what transpired over the next few minutes, but it did not end well. All I remember is that there was some kind of jerky, sweeping motion my son Opie made that landed a whole shipment of breakable tchotchkes shattered on the floor. And when this happens, as a mom in Hobby Lobby, you cannot yell at your kid because good father is probably playing on the speakers. So what did I do? I closed my eyes, took a deep breath in, and a long exhale out to calm myself and remember why you do not bring your kids into Hobby Lobby. It's important for us to know our why so that our what is very clear. Let's start by looking at a verse in Hebrews 12. Hebrews is a book in the New Testament written about 30 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. Hebrews affirms the scripture as central to a saving knowledge of God in Christ. Hebrews looks at a lot of Old Testament figures and passages that pointed to the coming of a Savior and shows how Christ fulfilled them. Hebrews 12 is such a loaded passage that talks about the intentional act of God shaping his children because he loves them. I encourage you to read the whole chapter later, but let's look specifically at verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I want to ask y'all, what are some things that come to mind when you think of discipline? One of our theme words as a ministry this year is growth. We want to look at this theme of growth from a biblical perspective this year. What did Jesus teach about growth? How is growth defined in God's kingdom? How is God's definition of growth different from man's definition of growth? This past summer, I began to study something called spiritual disciplines more closely. Spiritual disciplines are consistent practices that men and women have engaged in for thousands of years. They are modeled after the life of Christ. There is nothing magical about them. They are not meant to be applied as a formula. and they aren't meant to be practiced legalistically as a way to earn God's favor or get his attention. Disciplines applied through our effort cannot fix our soul or yield growth. Disciplines offer us an opportunity to partner with God for change. They provide a way of cooperating with the Holy Spirit to bring about internal transformation that we can't produce solely in our human effort. Let's look together at Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. The Apostle Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We see in this passage the what and why of spiritual disciplines. What? We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We give every fiber of who we are, our body, soul, and spirit. A living sacrifice implies that we choose to die to ourselves as we actively renew our minds. Why? This is our spiritual act of worship. Our discipline is a response to God in worship. And the fruit is that God, not us, transforms us from the inside out. The phrase, "be transformed by the renewal of your minds," tells us it is both something that happens to us and something that we are actively engaged in. Today, I want you to be encouraged, because if you're listening and you're seeking an opportunity to study the Bible, that is a spiritual discipline. Corporate worship is also a spiritual discipline. Accountability and community are spiritual disciplines. Solitude and prayer are spiritual disciplines. Both in gatherings that you spend with other people and times that you spend by yourself, engaging with God. These are spiritual disciplines, not as a way to get to God, to be a perfect human, but as an opportunity to partner with God for change, to consistently make room for the Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. Each discipline is a way we partner with God for the transformation only He can bring. Think back for a second to my story of Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby is known for having verses on pillows and Christian phrases on canvases, and the temptation for us is to settle for this version of Christianity. Hear me out. I love Hobby Lobby. I can get art supplies, home decor, and all the candy, and probably some book by Tim Tebow. But what I'm saying is not a slam on the store, but rather a call to push ourselves past making Christianity a verse on the wall or a feel-good quote on a pillow. Following Christ is meant to infuse every aspect of our lives, how we spend our time, how we engage in relationships, what we watch and listen to and read, what we do with our money. If we only live a surface type of faith where God's word figuratively hangs on our walls or sits on pillows in our home, but isn't integrated into the deepest parts of ourselves, then we cheat ourselves out of some of the richest blessings God has in store for us. Consistently partnering with the Holy Spirit for change is hard work, and it's also deeply fulfilling work. Let's go back to our verse in Hebrews 12, 11. "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." This verse is not making its way onto any pillows at Hobby Lobby. Discipline is not a sexy word. Discipline is like sowing a seed that you won't see the fruit of till weeks, months, maybe years later. Discipline is initially painful. How do I know? Because I've done a push-up, and the verse says so. But remember what it promises. "But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." And this is a huge part of our why. Where do you want to change? Where do you feel powerless to grow? Let's invite God into that. "God, I want to respond to you in worship by making my whole self available to you. And I'm trusting that as I engage with spiritual disciplines of Bible study, of prayer, of time alone with you, of slowing down my pace, you will produce fruit in my life. You will change me in the way I can't change myself. You will grow me in the ways I'm powerless to create or bring about.
Woven is committed to encouraging women to get involved with a local church. One congregation that has been instrumental in Woven's growth is Crosspoint Community Church. Not only has Crosspoint provided a greenhouse for Woven in the beginning stages, but they have also acted as a ministry advocate, partnering financially with Woven while also opening their doors to provide Woven a place to gather for weekly Bible studies. One of their mantras is "No perfect people allowed," which serves as yet another reminder of our need for Christ. Crosspoint meets each Sunday for worship at 9:30 and 11 a.m. in LaGrange, Texas. Check out their website at crosspointchurchtx.org.
Well, well, well. Looks like we got ourselves another season finale.
Oh.
This is the last episode.
This is the last episode. Season three. We're wrapping it up.
How do you feel? How did it go? It's a wrap.
I feel like we need like a sound effect that's like, I don't know.
A rap sound?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what's a... Well, that's a wrap, folks.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Good luck with that.
I was thinking today about, you know, the episodes and just personally what I've learned and what I've enjoyed. I'm like thinking back to the beginning. I feel like we should take like a little memory walk. We'll just give a little snippets. Heather's episode, Heather joined us from Don't Mom Alone at the beginning. And one of the most valuable things that she shared that I thought about so much is that rejection sometimes is God's protection, and sometimes rejection is God's direction. And I've thought about that a lot. Yeah. It's like a quotable quote. But it's been really good to think about and just see how that plays out in my children. And, well, there are children, but...
Yeah, I'll take credit for it.
Yeah. And then Nakia joined us for the second episode, and she was awesome. And she shared her journey of going to seminary, and after having, you know, really hated, not enjoyed school, and just persevered through 91 hours of grad school, really, truly, because the Lord put it on her heart. And so some of the big takeaways there were perseverance and really that the Lord will equip us in marriage, in grad school, in life to do the things that he's called us to. And so that was really powerful. And then Natalie came back on the show. It was her second time. She came back on the show and talked about...
Is that the first repeat offender?
I think so.
Apart from me.
Yeah, for sure. Somehow you keep weaseling your way on here. But she was great at just breaking down some stuff about the Old Testament and kind of going like, instead of just looking at Old Testament passages and making assumptions about who, you know, God is based on some like intense things that he's done or some, you know, wrathful decisions he makes, to really understand God's heart and look back and to understand the context. And so that's a really good, it's a meaty, thought-provoking episode, but really, really good. Then I talked a little bit about weddings and Jesus' first miracle. And that one is really terrible, so don't listen to that one. No.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. But I think when I was studying for that podcast and just reading about it, it was really cool to think about Jesus' first sign in John and how he includes like these signs to tell us more. There's always something more that's going on. And so whenever weddings or marriage is mentioned in the Bible, there's always something more going on. And so it's like this, it's real. I believe that Jesus actually performed the miracle of turning water into wine. And yet there's like this, there's more going on as far as like metaphors and allegories. Like Jesus is showing us that he is the ultimate groom in that. And then the next episode was so powerful. And Sam Hathaway came on and shared her testimony, her story, and it was a tearjerker. And I think it resonated with a lot of folks, and she was just so vulnerable. So that's a must listen for sure from this season, I think, of just hearing somebody's story and how God has really brought redemption through some painful suffering and has brought beauty from ashes. And then Hannah Scott came on the podcast and she talked about ethical adoption. We talked about both being raised with parents in ministry and just kind of that legacy and what we've learned from them, and also dealing with the toxic church. And so I think it was fun to talk a little bit about reflecting on being raised in ministry, and just, you know, I think an encouragement was that both of us could talk about how our parents owned their shortcomings, owned their faults, they apologized, they showed their brokenness and their humanity to us as we grew up. And I think that that has impacted both of us in really positive ways. And then we talked about marriage.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. It was the best episode of the entire season.
No doubt.
What was your takeaway from that one?
Marriage is cool. No, it's hard.
So profound. Yeah.
It's hard and it's, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of our feedback from that was just, wow, thanks for saying what you did because we know we're not alone.
Well, I heard from a lot of people. It's always funny whenever I'm on the podcast because I end up hearing from guys that week in our community and around that just say, thank you for your vulnerability and thanks for being honest. And I think people appreciated us just kind of sharing some of our hard stuff that happens in marriage inevitably when you're vulnerable.
Yeah. Our fights, it's definitely led to some bigger, like some further conversations with us with different people, which has been cool. And again, I hope that that happens for different episodes as people listen. The next episode was Adam. Adam came on the podcast and talked about a praying life, and he shared a lot of great stories about God working through prayer. And I think that one of my favorite things that we talked about and he shared was just that really that prayer starts from a place of hopelessness, from a place of I can't and God, I need you, and simply just God help. And what a refreshing thought that is to know that that's like the basis of prayer. And then, and his stories were so encouraging and just cool to think about. Like he talked a lot about like the story that God is always writing, and us, our prayers are an opportunity to engage with the story that God's writing, as opposed to thinking of it as just whether God answered a prayer or didn't answer a prayer. And then Jeannie Luby came on from Nebraska, and she talked about engaging the culture through different questions. And I think what she shared, her podcast has been helpful for me to think through leaning into conversations with people who think differently than me, and not shying away from those. And it's pushed me even just to say, okay, I think there's a few people that I need to initiate some conversations with that I've maybe kind of distanced myself from simply because I'm avoiding the awkwardness, you know. And then the next episode was, honestly, I don't know if I'm allowed to have favorites, but probably was one of my favorite, the most favorite that we've ever recorded was Samir. And he talked about persecution in the Afghan world. And he talked a lot about, he shared his testimony, his family coming to Christ as refugees in Pakistan. And if you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to episode 10 from Samir. That was a really powerful, powerful story and call to response as well. And has just shifted my whole perspective with how I look at my life in general. So, and then we talked a little bit more about parenting. It was good to talk about some of that stuff and think about some things and hear, you know, it's like such a blessing to always be hearing from people at us, you know, further along in the parenting journey from us. So.
Yeah, I think we've benefited from the wisdom of parents that have gone before us and that are a season ahead of us and just doing life alongside them. So.
Yeah.
It's fun to get to pass on some of those nuggets of wisdom that we've received over the years.
For sure. I think, last week's episode, was Lindsay Hicks sharing with us out of the Houston area. And she told just a powerful story of her son having a tragic accident and really having to prepare to say goodbye, that the doctor said your son is about to die, and then just watching as God revived him. And so really, really powerful, miraculous story of God working. And yet she kind of shared with us and wrestled with us a little bit about how there are still really hard consequences for of the accident, and there are things that you know, his life is now forever altered. And so because of that, she wrestles with, and they wrestle with this bittersweet realization of like, man, God, like, you're good and you revived our son, and yet you know, almost like his life is going to be forever different and we can't change that. And so her words have been really challenging and really, really encouraging. And so lots of good stuff from this season, lots of good wisdom people shared. And then this last episode really is just kind of thinking about spiritual disciplines and what do we want our life to be characterized by, and why are we big on Bible study at Woven? Why does it matter? And why is it something that we prioritize and put at the forefront? So, yeah, but we're already planning for season 4, which is kind of fun. And I think another little fun milestone we're celebrating is that we're hitting 10,000 downloads, streams, listens for the podcast over the past couple years. So that's fun for the show as a whole, just to hit that and to think about all the lives and all the car rides and all the encouragement and just the ways that it's intersected with people's lives. And we do just want to say thanks to our listeners, and thanks for just continuing to tune in and send feedback and share this podcast and all the ways that you've been a part of that. And so it's been, I know that's, in some ways it's like, you know, that the numbers is not why we do it, but I think to look at that and just think about the reach of it, and just to know that, yeah, it's mattered in little ways to people. And so we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. And if you've enjoyed it, then stick around, because there's more where that came from, and share it with somebody, because it helps the podcast grow and the reach of this, and helps more people find this content, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And if you've made it this far, then you're automatically entered into a raffle to win $1 million. So stick around for the next episode, and if we call your name, then you're the winner.
Where's the money coming from?
Oh, I thought you had the money. you told me to say that.
No. Oh, dear.
Yep, stick around for that. You want to make sure and tune in next time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Make sure you read the fine print,
though. Don't miss it. It's a $10 million IOU.
Seriously, though, thanks for hanging in there with us, guys. And we'll be back soon with more.
If you'd like to know more about this ministry, check out our website at wovenministry.com or download the Woven app to engage on a deeper level. Please take the time to rate and review this podcast. It helps listeners find this feed. But better yet, share Wits End with a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way. Music and editing for the show is by Callan Brown, and production is by Tim Scarborough. We are so thrilled you tuned in today.